You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Sunny skies here in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 26 degrees is the temperature. The time is 9:06. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Of course, tomorrow it is Election Day. And don't forget, 8 o'clock sharp, live election night analysis, results, and everything else right here on WXCO and the Civic Media Radio Network. And of course, the top race on the ballot is for the state Supreme Court. Very, very significant race. And we are very happy to welcome back to the program to talk about it, heading down the stretch towards Election Day, Judge Susan Crawford on the ballot tomorrow here in Wisconsin. Judge, thank you again for joining us and spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, good morning, Chad. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Let's jump right in. I want to start off with your reaction to what we saw last night with Elon Musk after spending millions and millions of dollars in terms of lifting Brad Schimmel's campaign on what we saw last night. Your general impression on last night and maybe the whole Musk effect on this election.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a bizarre event, pretty wide-ranging comments by Elon Musk, not actually a lot of focus on the election, which I thought was sort of interesting. He did not have that much to say about Brad Schimmel. But obviously, he's handing out million-dollar checks at that event, and I think Wisconsinites should really be outraged by that. We have the richest man in the world wading into a state judicial race trying to buy a seat on the Supreme Court, and it's not democratic. It's not what should be happening here.
The decisions that will be made by whatever Supreme Court is seated after the election will affect the lives of Wisconsinites on a daily basis, not Elon Musk on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
What do Wisconsinites who have their lives that will be affected one way or the other after this election, what should they be thinking about when it comes to you as a jurist? What are the things you're going to bring to that group with some very important issues coming in front of that court over the next couple of years? What will you bring to the discussion and to the decision-making process over the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Chad. You know, I've worked throughout my entire career as a lawyer and now as a judge to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and under our Constitution. You know, I started out as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, working to make sure we had safe communities and that people who had committed violent crimes were off our streets and that crime victims' rights were protected in the process. And then later as a lawyer, I worked to protect the rights of Wisconsinites in our courts, standing up for things like voting rights and reproductive freedom and the rights of workers. And that I want voters to know that about me, that I have fought for them in our courts. And now as a judge, that's what I do every day, case by case, just always standing up for Wisconsin values and Wisconsin families when I'm sitting behind the bench. And that's what I'll do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. My sort of fundamental judicial philosophy is that we have laws and we have a constitution to protect the rights of Wisconsinites. And I interpret them to carry out that purpose, and that's what I'll do on the Supreme Court.
You use the term rights, and I think that in this era, there's a lot of the rights of the average citizen, whether it's in Wisconsin, whether it's throughout the country, that are under attack by the forces of power, the forces of money. How do you look at the whole system I feel there's cracks. And I think one of the aspects that's been talked about a little bit more recently, especially at the national level, but it could just as easily occur at the state level if the same mindset goes in, is the belief that the justice system does believe in justice. Could you maybe talk about what you see, what you think, again, beyond even beyond this race, but the whole idea of justice for the average person?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think money is really a corrupting force. We've seen in this election that, you know, Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, has come in and spent now upwards of $25 million on this race. And he is out trying to buy off people's votes. And my opponent, Brad Schimmel, seems okay with that. He's not said a single word of criticism or asked Elon Musk to back down or to, you know, stop trying to bribe voters in Wisconsin. So it's that's really pathetic, in my opinion. This is a race where we have a extreme partisan politician who is willing to, you know, be bought off by the highest bidder, and the highest bidder is the richest man in the world here. And we've seen Elon Musk out in Washington, D.C., trying to dismantle broad swaths of the federal government without even knowing what those folks do, with, you know, really serious, with consequences that are so serious that then a week later they try to undo what they've done because they are not really, they don't have a plan. And that's, none of that is about justice for Wisconsinites. None of that is about the role of our Wisconsin Supreme Court in making fair, impartial interpretations of our laws that should not involve any kind of a partisan agenda.
And I guess before we do run out of time, because I know you're very, very busy, consequences. And I think one thing that people have noticed in the last 2.5 months since the new administration has come in is that there are consequences in elections, that a lot of people say, boy, I really didn't think that would happen, or I didn't think that he would actually do that. When it comes to different issues here in Wisconsin, whether it is abortion, whether it is voting rights, whether it is even, you know, health care and things like that, these are issues that yeah. come in front of the court, and there are consequences to whoever takes that seat, correct?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, reproductive freedom is a really good example of that, and there was a period of time after the Dobbs decision, the decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, when doctors couldn't be sure that that 1849 abortion ban, criminal abortion ban that bans just about all abortions, whether that law was in effect or not. Ultimately, after a period of time, a judge put that law on hold while the case was moving through the courts. But while that law could have been in effect, doctors were afraid of getting punished. You know, they were afraid of getting charged with felonies. And during that period of time, and I've heard this from a number of people on the campaign trail, both women and healthcare professionals, women had to leave the state of Wisconsin to get healthcare. And these are not situations where somebody was seeking to just voluntarily terminate a pregnancy. It's one where they had a very wanted pregnancy and were having really significant complications, and they had to leave the state to get health care. So these are some life and death issues, Chad. There's a lot on the line.
And real quickly to wrap it up, as you come to the finish line of this election race, you've gone through a lot. Any regrets on throwing your hat in the ring? Because I imagine going up against the richest man in the world is something you weren't expecting. How do you feel as you get to the finish line?
Yeah, you know, there have been a lot of crazy twists and turns in this race, Chad, but I haven't regretted it for 1 minute, and I'm proud of the race that I ran. I think we stuck with our principles. I've told the truth about who I am as a person and what kind of justice I want to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I'm putting my trust in the voters to make the right decision in this race and put a judge on the Supreme Court that wants to protect their rights under our laws and not a partisan politician. So I'm asking everybody who's listening to the show today to make sure they get out and vote, and I'm asking them to vote for me tomorrow.
Judge Susan Crawford on the ballot for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Thank you again, and best of luck as you finish up this race.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, very great to have a chance to spend a few minutes with Judge Crawford. And again, there's so much you could be talking about. And that's the thing about elections these days. So often we will see a situation where what is talked about in a great majority of the time that is spent, whether it's through the media, whether it's through campaign stops, whether it's through commercials, are not the important aspects. That that it's a situation where you feel like we're taking our eye off the ball. And I think one of the points I did want to make was the idea that when you look at consequences, there are consequences in a vote. There are consequences in terms of who you have serve in a certain position. And you see, I've seen a lot of stories in the last 2 months from folks who say, I didn't think that Trump would really do that, or that Musk would really do that within his DOGE committee, or I'm really surprised, or if I'd known this. Well, the information is out there. It was out there for that election. The information is out there for this election. I think that Judge Crawford and Brad Schimmel have both put out who they are. I think there's a pretty good idea on who these folks are. And
agreed.
Something that Pat Kreitlow said when we talked to him last Thursday, that, and he said this before to me as well, that he talked to somebody that he knows, somebody that he considers a friend, but has voted for Donald Trump. And his friend has said, yeah, I know Donald Trump is lying, but he tells the lies I want to believe. Or along those lines. It's like
I just don't understand.
I don't understand that either. But at the same time, it is a situation that you shake your head. Because I think people do know deep down the people they vote for, even when they're saying afterwards, oh, I didn't think this was okay. People have to, I think, take a longer and harder look within themselves. It's so easy to blame Musk. It's easy to blame money. It's easy to blame the candidates. But at the same time, there is a responsibility for us as voters.
Absolutely.
To take the long look at the information that we have and to make the best decision possible in order for us to be able to make those good decisions, to be able to make the choice to strengthen our system, to strengthen our communities. And it really is a situation that is important, very, very important to make those decisions in a right way, not in the wrong way, when you do go to the voting booths starting tomorrow. So again, thanks to Judge Susan Crawford for spending a few minutes with us here this morning on the program. The time is 9:18. More to come here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, sun is shining here in north central Wisconsin. It was a rough weekend weather-wise, I tell you. We saw the heavy rain. We saw some flooding. We saw some freezing rain. We saw the ice. We saw the snow. And we're taking a deep breath here today, but then by tomorrow night, we're going to see again some snow, some more ice, and then a little rain. Man, oh man, it just continues. But again, we will get through it. Today's the final day of March. We'll be into April. Spring will get here eventually. In fact, our spring high school sports coverage will begin later in the week on Friday. We're scheduled to have baseball with Wausau West against Antigo, but they're playing outside. And the way the things are right now, I don't think it's going to be ready. That field is going to be ready. But the good news is the Wausau West softball team is playing in an event over at DC Everest in the Green Heck Turner Community Center. They actually have indoor areas where they play softball. So they're going to be playing. They're going to be playing softball indoors on Friday and Saturday. It's a big event. A lot of teams there, and West will be playing Lakeland on Friday, and Eau Claire Memorial, I believe it is, on Saturday. And the plan would be, if there's no baseball on Friday, we'll do the softball game at 3 o'clock on Friday, Warriors and Lakeland. And then on Saturday, we are already scheduled to bring you the Warriors against Eau Claire Memorial at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. So our spring high school sports schedule will get underway on Friday and Saturday, either baseball or softball, but likely it will be both softball both days on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, we're working on the issue on 98.9 right now. We are on the air on 1230. We're on the air online. We're on the air on YouTube. We're on the air everywhere.
We still have a show.
But unfortunately, right now, that ice storm has caused some issues with our 98.9 transmitter. So that's being worked on. And again, we apologize for any of the issues for folks trying to tune in on 98.9 WXCO as opposed to all of our other ways of listening. That's one of the good things about modern technology is that you have so many different ways to tune in. You can tune in on the FM, you can tune in on the AM, you can tune in on your internet, on your web page, you can go to mobile devices, Alexa, YouTube, so many different ways to get this show. And one of the ways is down right now, and that's 98.9. So again, we are working on that and hoping to have that fixed up very, very soon. Hey, coming up at the end of the program, I know we had Judge Susan Crawford on, obviously, in the last segment. Normally, we talk about what we have coming up at the end of the show as part of our daily history lesson and our number for the day quiz. Give you the topic normally in that first segment, but we had an important guest join us.
Absolutely.
So what we are going to do is talk about it now. As at the end of the show, the final couple of minutes, we always finish things up with the number for the day quiz. And we give Ian that quiz, three different choices. One is correct, two are incorrect. And so based on the math, 33%, one out of three is the goal for the week.
That's right.
Above 33% is a passing grade. Below 33% is a failing grade. Last week, you brought the drama.
Yeah.
You were incorrect on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That meant you had to get Thursday and Friday right in order to get a passing grade, and you were able to do so. Got it right on Thursday, got it right on Friday.
Yeah, that was a close week.
But we don't want you to do that again this week. We want you to get off to a better start this week.
Yeah, start off with a win on a Monday.
Make it easier. Because then also, we still want you to get a winning week, which is more right than wrong.
Absolutely.
We want you to at least match your all-time best, which is 4 out of 5. And we're still hoping that you're able to find a way to get the perfect week, 5 out of 5. And the only way you can do that is to get it right on Monday.
Yep.
So the topic.
That was the first step.
For today.
Okay.
Time to give you that topic so you can think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
The topic is tips.
Tips.
You know, when you give
helpful advice or tips at restaurants?
Tips at restaurants.
Okay, it's just
gonna,
we get that clarification.
It's going to involve tips at restaurants. So you're going to be thinking about that.
Dad has always wanted me to figure out. It's just like anytime he tells me, okay, just finished our meal. We got the check. What is 15% of the total? I'm like, Dad, do we have to do this every time?
No, exactly right. So,
I used to have like a tip calculator on my phone. The way you put in the total amount, and it would give you the certain, a tip amount based on a certain percentage. I don't have that anymore because my dad thinks it's cheating, but he wants me to use my head.
So, I think that's a good way
Dad,
to.
Dad, if you're listening, it's about tips today. So let's see if my math is right.
So, yep, that's exactly right. So we'll talk about tips as part of our number for the day and part of our daily history lesson coming up at the end of the program. And coming up after an information update, we have news, weather, sports, entertainment all coming up. We're very happy to, again, welcome some of the members of the cast of Wausau West Theater's upcoming weekend production of All My Sons, one of the classics of the stage, Arthur Miller, one of the great American playwrights. Mm-hmm. All My Sons coming to Wausau West in their auditorium on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7, Sunday afternoon at 2. And we'll talk to five of the members of the cast coming up after our information update. So again, that'll be very cool as we have so many very talented folks hitting the stages around Central Wisconsin. It's a busy time when you get into the spring. The schools have their spring shows, and some of the independent groups have their shows, and there's always shows going on at the Grand as well. So we're going to talk about Wausau West, All My Sons, coming up after an information update. News, weather, sports, entertainment, all coming up with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:35. Sun is shining here on this Monday morning. Hopefully you made it through a nasty weather weekend out there, but heading towards April, and always a busy time for a lot of theatrical productions here in Central Wisconsin. The spring shows are getting ready, and in fact, coming up this week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m., and then Sunday at 2 p.m. over at Wausau West High School and their auditorium, All My Sons. And again, one of the great shows in American theatrical history, Arthur Miller, and it should be a fantastic time again coming up this weekend. And to join us and talk about it, we don't have just one member of the cast. We don't have two members of the cast. Doggone it. We don't even have three members of the cast. Four? You say, I think our record has been four. And now today we are breaking the record. In fact, there's so many people here. I am sitting in Ian's booth because there's no room for me in my studio. And you know that there's a lot of folks here if I can't even be in my studio. But I'm sitting in Ian's studio using Ian's mic, but very happy to welcome Milo Holthusen, Nolan Mudler, Nolan Travis, Odelia Holthusen, and Liv Pinkert, all from All My Sons. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about is that I've had a chance to talk to, I think, four of the five. I think Liv is the only one that has not been here before.
New blood.
Yeah, exactly right. But, and obviously I communicate with Brad Schmicker, who's your director. And he said, you know, I'm going to bring five people over. I said, we'll make it work. We'll find a way to make it work. Because your combination of veterans and what he called the new guard. And for the veterans, for the Nolans especially, as you get towards the end here of your high school careers, what does this show mean to you in that respect?
Well, I think it's a great last show to end on. I mean, and I never want to think about it as an end, but it's more of as like a, obviously it's a stepping off point and everything. But I think that doing this one last show with a very close knit group of people, and being able to do it with all the people that like I've been close to my whole 4 years at West, and reaching a peak, I think, at West when we, I think we're all at very different places from when we were freshmen than we are now, you know? And I think that ending this show with such an emotional piece and that is very close to home, I think is very good for me at least. And I think it just strikes a chord.
Yeah. Nolan? Nolan?
I mean, just like what Nolan said, doing the show with all of us, it's a close show where everybody in the show needs to be close with each other. And having the cast with such a good bond, it's very like prevalent on stage.
The show itself, and Arthur Miller, I think, is one of those names in American theater that is just amazingly powerful. And I mean, you just go down the list of the shows that he has written and produced. This is I remember, because when I was in school and college, I did The Crucible, and it got me into Miller. And actually, I read All My Sons because I thought, oh, I would really like to learn more about Miller, because I really was attached to him. And, you know, there's a power behind The Crucible, but there's a power. I mean, you got, you know, Death of a Salesman and the power behind these shows. For folks who are maybe not familiar with this Miller production, what maybe a thumbnail sketch in terms of what All My Sons is about?
Yeah, so I read the show about a year ago. Nolan Mudler had recommended it to me, and there was kind of buzz of it being our show next year. But kind of like a basic overview of the play is it follows a family post-World War II, and it's follows the mom and the dad who are kind of grieving the loss of one of their sons who is lost at war right now, and they're trying to kind of come over those emotions. And at the same time, we're finding out new information about the family during the war and kind of all the experiences that go along with grief and hardship.
I guess I should ask each of you, what roles are you playing? We'll start with Milo. What role are you playing?
Yeah, so I'm playing the role of Dr. Jim Bayless. So he's a neighbor of the family and kind of serves as like he's good friends with Chris Keller. So it's kind of a historic friendship and
Odelia?
I play the role of Kate Keller, who is the mom of Chris and Larry Keller and the wife of Joe Keller.
And Liv?
I play the role of Anne Deaver. She is, you know, she lives in New York, and she kind of what sets the play in motion, I feel. You know, she kind of is the turning event for a lot of the stuff that comes later.
Nolan Travis?
I play Joe Keller. He's married to Anne.
Not Anne.
Married to Kate.
That's a different show.
And is the father Chris and Larry.
And Nolan Mudler.
And I play Chris. I'm the son of Kate and Joe. I'm Anne's boyfriend, kind of, if you want to call it that, in the 1950s. Yeah, I kind of, the relationship between my father and my mother and Anne is kind of what sets the play in motion.
For you all as performers, and you said it, I mean, when you talk about war and families who may have lost a child, the emotion as young performers, and obviously, I mean, so there's experience there, but what is the process for a show like this, maybe different than we've talked about, like you've had musicals, we've had other kind of shows. What's been the process for trying to put this show together, a pure drama where you have to go pretty deep? Could maybe have thoughts on your process to get to where you want to be this weekend?
Yeah, so it's definitely a long, tedious process. Our director, Sarah Rudolph, definitely took a lot of time with us. We spent the first week of rehearsals kind of just reading through the show and kind of talking about what each line means and how it relates to our character and the subtext of each line. And then we spent a lot of time not working on the heavier scenes just so we could really get to know our characters mm-hmm. before we started working on the kind of heavier topics throughout the show. And I think it's really important to all of us that we give an accurate representation of grief to our viewers. We want it to make it feel very real to them. And I think that's definitely our goal coming up with the performance this weekend.
Liv, since it's your first time here that I've had a chance to talk to you, what's your experience in theater? How much have you done?
So my theater experience started actually not very long ago. I've only been in 3 musicals, and my first one is actually Beauty and the Beast with Sweeta. And that brought my, you know, my theater career, you know, that really skyrocketed my like passion for it. And this isn't my first play. My first play was Men on Boats when I was in 7th grade. But I will say this show, it does hit a bit close to home for me. I lost my brother a couple years ago. So it's, I wouldn't say easy, but it's very, I can tune into the emotions very well. And I think that's what helps me, you know, use my acting the best.
Can I ask, you talk about tapping into your emotions. Obviously, those emotions have to be very difficult emotions. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to ask yourself to reach into those emotions? Or are you able to, in a sense, separate, in some case, that what you're trying to accomplish in a play as opposed to real life? I mean, that seems like that'd be a maybe a little bit of a delicate balance.
Yeah, it is definitely, it can sometimes be a bit of a blurry line. But I think I can separate my emotions from the show, but not in a way where it doesn't look real. I can do it in a way where I can express how I feel and what I've gone through, but where I can show it and feel it, but not let it overcome me.
And Nolan, Travis, the difference between, say, a musical and a show like this, because I've you know, had a chance to talk to you, and you have different kinds of shows. What is the particular challenge of a show like this, and maybe what's the best, for lack of a better term, the fun part of a show like this compared to, say, like a musical or a comedy?
Yeah, well, for me personally, this is the first play I've ever done.
Oh, really?
And so the challenging aspect for me was getting the like character out without song and expressing the emotions just plainly solely in the words, and like no song, nothing like that, getting that to come across. But like the fun part about it is it is just words, and you have so much more to work with when trying to find like the little things with your character, because there's so many little nuances inside all the text and stuff like that.
And Nolan Mudler, what's been the biggest challenge for you and your role in the show?
I think just keeping it kind of alive, you know, and like Trav said, like I think in musicals, you know, you don't have just 15, 20 lines and then there's a song, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have a lot more freedom, and I think it's good and bad. That means there's a lot more room for error, you know, but I think that in a way it all makes us better actors in finding those little moments and finding not even what's in the words, but just like if it's a glance on stage and just a different inflection and thinking about, you know, what you're thinking in the scene and how that relates to the words on the page. And I think the biggest challenge for me, at least, is trying to bring some of those things out. You know, I don't want to tell people that my character is angry in the scene, you know, but I want to show that anger. I want to show that emotion, but I can't show it to this person, but I have to relate to this person. I think it's the beauty of the writing, too, and that it's so profound and just so in-depth. And it's, I mean, you said it's a Miller play.
right.
But I think that just adds to how grappling the storyline is.
How long has this process been? When did you start rehearsals?
Pretty short.
Uh-huh.
February? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said that Sarah's directing this one?
Yeah, they're working alongside one another. Sarah does a lot of like fine-tuning smaller details, and then Brad's helping a lot with kind of the bigger picture, like setting up the set, stuff like that. So it's exciting to watch them work together.
Well, I'm going to toot their horns because, again, I have a long history, because back when they came to Central Wisconsin back in 1991, wow, when they came to UWMC, I was just finishing up my last semester there, and the first show Sarah ever directed, I was in it, and that was fun. It was, and she was an incredibly talented person. I wanted to ask, in our last couple of minutes, to have that kind of talent with Brad and Sarah. I imagine it's been amazing in terms of your development as actors.
Yeah, it's been fantastic to work with Brad and Sarah, especially throughout our sophomore years and on. Just kind of like, you'll work with them on blocking, and then you'll go and talk to Brad or Sarah about the lines, and they'll have all the knowledge about being able to characterize it. And then you go and see how they can create the visual part of the theater, and like seeing our set and the lighting, and just all of their knowledge being able to be applied and taught and like given to us as students has been really valuable. And I think it's something that a lot of high school students don't get to work with.
And I think it's interesting too, the first show that they directed at West, they directed similar to how they're doing now, is alongside one of each other. And like you said, Sarah, the smaller details, and Brad, the bigger picture. And that's the last time they've directed like this cohesive. And so it's interesting that like their first show with them and our last show with them, they're doing the same thing again.
And again, we got 1 minute to go. It's Monday and you open on Thursday. Are you there? Are you there? Is this show ready, or are you guys still finding something?
I think there's something to be found every night. You know, like you find, even in the shows, you know, you make it better and you make it different, and sometimes it doesn't work. But I think that's all part of the process.
But I will say, like, it's there. Like we've got the text down. We've got the inflections and the bigger picture of everything coming together is going to be awesome to see this week. But it's definitely there.
And the set. Oh my God, the set.
So cool,
beautiful.
And one of the fun things is every live performance is different. Yes. That's the magic of theater. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7 o'clock, Sunday at 2 at the Wausau West Auditorium. And Nolan, Liv, Odelia, and Milo, thank you all for coming on in and break a leg.
Thank you
so much.
9:49, we'll be right back here on
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:52. It is the final day of March. Yeah, we made it to the end of March. In fact, you know, third month of the year, that means the quarter pole of the year. The quarter pole. Quarter of the way through the year. We're day number 90 of this year. There are 275 days remaining in the year.
Close to 100 on that number.
Yeah, we're getting there. So we're flying right on through. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the United States for the first time. On this date in 1966, the Soviet Union launched Luna 10, which later became the first space probe to enter orbit around the moon. On this date in 1989, WrestleMania 5, pitting Hulk Hogan against Macho Man Savage, became the largest pay-per-view program in cable TV history.
Remember pay-per-view, people?
Yep, remember pay-per-view. On this date in 1995, a tragedy, Corpus Christi, Texas, Latin superstar Selena was shot and killed by Yolanda Saldivar, the president of her own fan club. On this date in 1998, God did not appear live at 10 a.m. on Channel 18, as predicted by a Taiwanese UFO cult in Garland, Texas. The group had predicted God's appearance for months. I'm guessing that Channel 18 got a bump in ratings.
Oh,
people were tuned in for the big interview with God.
As soon as nothing happened, I think the ratings went down.
On this date in 2014, the U.S. announced it was on track to enroll 7 million people in government-mandated health insurance programs by the deadline at midnight. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Shirley Jones played the matriarch Shirley Partridge on The Partridge Family. Mm-hmm. Shirley Jones is 91 years old today. Actor Christopher Walken, 82 years old. Hard to believe Christopher Walken's 82. He's been around for such a long time.
He certainly doesn't look it.
And he's still working. He'll be in the upcoming Dune Part 2. Mm. Actor and poker player Gabe Kaplan from Welcome Back, Kotter, 80 years old today. I both liked him in Welcome Back, Kotter, and I've liked him when I've seen him on the poker tables as well. Former Vice President Al Gore is 77. Rhea Perlman is also 77. She was Carla on Cheers. AC/DC guitarist Angus Young is 70. Actor Ewan McGregor.
Oh, one of my favorite actors.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
Trainspotting and many other films.
Christopher Robin.
Yep. Ewan McGregor is 54. And Ruby Cruz of Mayor of Easttown and Bottoms is 25 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Eiffel Tower Day. It is Dance Marathon Day. It is Baked Ham and Pineapple Day.
That sounds good.
It is International Transgender Day of Visibility. It is Crayon Day. It is Farm Workers Day. It is Tater Day. And World Backup Day. So, if you're backup quarterback, today's your day. And time now for our number for the day.
Yes.
And our number for the day quiz. And every weekday, we wrap things up giving Ian the number for the day quiz. Three choices, one of which is our number for the day. Two are incorrect. So, based on the math, one out of three correct, 33%. About 33% is the passing grade. Below 33% is a failing grade. But we want more than that. We want a winning week, which is 3 out of 5, more right than wrong. Ian's best week is 4 out of 5. He's done that 3 different times.
Hopefully I can start off on the 5 out of 5 by getting and today right.
Yep, we want that 5 out of 5. Yes. Have not done it yet.
Oh.
So today, the topic is?
Tips. Restaurant tips, not helpful tips.
Our number for the day is billions of dollars in tips Americans give each year. Billions of dollars in tips Americans give each year.
Okay, what are my choices?
Your choices are $10 billion, $40 billion,
okay,
$80 billion.
Whew. Okay.
So $10 billion, $40 billion, $80
billion. Well, that's a lot of money. Billions of dollars Americans leave as tips each year. $10 billion, $40 billion, or $80 billion. Ooh, okay. Well, this is going to be a big number, but I'm going to say, I'm going to trust my instincts here. I'm going to say $80 billion. I'm going to go with C. Start off the week. It's my final answer. I'm going with C.
All right. Number for the day, billions of dollars in tips Americans give each year is $40 billion.
Oh, the middle number.
The middle number today.
Drat. But I can start off on the right.
There you go.
What day?
All right.
Come back tomorrow and try it again.
We'll start April with a win.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we'll do.
First day of April.
Everybody enjoy the final day of March. We'll be back tomorrow. Start off April. Thanks again to Judge Susan Crawford for joining us and the 5 members of the Wausau West cast of All My Sons coming this weekend to the Wausau West Auditorium. Thanks to them for joining us as well. Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody.
And we will be back tomorrow, Election Day, 8 till 10 a.m. Chad Holmes Show on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.